Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God chosen for our devotion this morning is recorded in 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, verses 13 through 18. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Your fellow redeemed in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. At the end of the Christian church year, the focus of the lessons read in the churches is on the last things. The Greek word is eschaton, which means last. So our lessons also this week aim at the last day, the Christian's citizenship in heaven, and our temporary citizenship here on earth. In our lesson, St. Paul answers a question which sounds a lot like it was a Bible class question. Who will be taken up first when the day of judgment comes, those still alive or those who have died in the past? And the apostle answers the question very straightforwardly and says, the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are still alive will be taken up. And then he says, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. However, that's not quite the answer to that question itself is not quite the main point of it all. Rather, for Paul, it is found in this. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Now that is, in fact, a fitting description of the life of Christians living in the world, waiting for the fulfillment of our Lord's promise. And that Christians, therefore, comfort one another. That, in fact, is also the Christian's life of worship. Whether we are in the same room, like we are today, or merely on the same planet. We sing together. We pray together. We praise God for his grace together. We hear God's word together. We believe and confess our faith together. We hope together. And all of that is comfort. It's comfort for those who patiently wait, it's comfort for those who are grieved by their sins. It is comfort for those who fear God's judgment, and it's comfort for those who long for his return. The last day meets each one of us when we stand before God in death, whether young or old, in our teens, as college students, as young adults, as those of middle age or the aged. And that judgment into which we enter at the death of our flesh is part and parcel of the great judgment at the last day. For each of us, the question is whether and how I can stand before God. Do I stand before Him with what I do, with my love, with my work, with the strength of my faith? Or do I stand before Him as a beggar, one that has nothing to offer except the gift that He Himself has given, the righteousness of His Son, the righteousness which is grasped by faith, the faith which is a gift of His grace, and the faith which is created and sustained by His word and sacraments, by His power. If we stand before Him with our own deeds, there is nothing that can satisfy God there. But if we stand before Him with His gifts, then there is a value that satisfies Him, for it is the work of His only begotten Son. This great judgment comes at the last day. It's in the future, and we look toward it in time. But it's not so future that it is not relevant to my life here and now. It is not so future that it has nothing to do with the now today in which I live. The judgment has come. It came in eternity when God chose us in Christ. It came when Jesus became man, stood in my place, bore the wrath of God's condemning justice. It came when I was baptized and was made His own in Christ. It comes to me each day when I come under the condemnation of sin and am brought to repentance and receive His absolution anew. Son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. The import for each of us then, as we contemplate the end of all things, is that we come to live under repentance and believe His promise. When we stand before Him in judgment, daily and at the end of time, the question will not be the Santa Claus question, have you been bad or good, naughty or nice? The question rather is, do I live under His grace and forgiveness or not? Do I hold on to my own righteousness, the quality of my own life, for Him to accept? Or do I hold in my hands by faith the righteousness of His Son, the forgiveness of sins, and His gracious promise? Only by His gracious absolution do I have the peace with which I can stand before Him in His judgment. Indeed, all of the proclamation of the gospel of forgiveness in word and sacrament is directed toward that I may stand before Him at the last day. To Him alone be the glory. Amen.